Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been
baseball.
Matt Spiegel.
Good vibes, baby.
Host of Inside the Clubhouse and Hit and Run.
Matt Spiegel got on with some takes that were pure gold.
Matt Spiegel is one of the great baseball people, and not only in this town, but across the country.
MLB columnist for 670thescore.com.
That's where our game, and I say our because I love it so much.
Matt Spiegel.
Enthusiasms. What am I? What draws my admiration? What is that which gives me joy?
Dames!
Baseball.
Matt Spiegel with Danny Parkins on 670 The Score.
And you can see Matt Spiegel's smiling face in space. Twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. What's up, my friend?
Hello, sir. Your hair looks outstanding. This is a new thing. There was a while there when you were growing it out and you looked a little older than the 11-year-old look you had been locked in for, what, a decade? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I had the high and tight thing pretty consistently for pretty much adulthood. Like what a normal person would say is adulthood, but for me was just a continuation of adolescence.
Right, and then you grew it out a little, and you looked a little bit like the Beatles from Rubber Soul era, and I feel like that's what you were going for, knowing your musical taste.
Yeah, it's my favorite era.
Yeah, but now this is a whole new thing. There's product, there's a comb to the side. This is an impressive level of care out of you.
Thank you. Good
job, Steph, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. You know, what it was basically I went to a salon, and I paid some money for a hairstylist to, I said, give me a haircut that you think looks good. And then I did something that I've never done before.
Yeah.
When we were done with the haircut, I scheduled my next haircut.
Oh, wow. Now you're on a schedule.
Yeah. So now I'm committed because I was happy with it. So now I'm committed to the look. So 5 weeks out, I got a haircut scheduled ahead of Thanksgiving. And then that's just going to be the new me.
Well, I think that this is finally you've achieved a look that the Twitch subscribers of 670 The Score deserve.
That's really what I'm doing it for.
They've worked hard. They've chatted hard. They've paid attention vaguely at times to the content on the feed. The least you could do is show up like that. So
that's what I think. So we are going to talk some baseball. I want to talk a little World Series with you, but I am curious how you have been taking in this Bears season, which has been very confusing for a lot of Bears fans and, frankly, Bears media. I'm curious, as a longtime Bears observer, how you're experiencing the 2020 pandemic Bears.
I think it's been confusing for the Bears themselves, too. Haven't you been on a little bit of a journey with Matt Nagy and Nick Foles these past couple weeks as they get more and more ruthlessly honest about what they are and what they are not? And I realized it today anew as I was thinking and looking forward to this hour, Danny, looking forward to talking Bears. By the way, I love that my wife, who's in the background in the kitchen, every once in a while will move forward and break through the green screen space effect of my Zoom virtual background.
It's an interesting thing. I wasn't sure if I should tell you that was happening or not. Hi, Christine. It's good to see you. Because, yeah, that is like a really trippy experience. Like, I get it. You don't want your kitchen or your house to be
right.
just, like, very personal. It can be invasive. You don't have this backdrop here that they gave me. So you give this thing. But, yeah, she is very, like, hallucinogenic, man. It's very like the plot of Space Jam 2, which I shared earlier.
Oh, I heard you were talking about Space Jam 2. Actually, it reminds me of Interstellar. Was it Interstellar? And no, which was the one?
Gravity?
Gravity. Gravity. So I'm George Clooney, as you
yes.
know. And she is Sandra Bullock just kind of jetpacking into my space because that's how space and NASA stuff works, as you know.
I often get you and Clooney confused.
So easy.
Is the thing.
I have a house.
Sandra Bullock, that's a leap. But you and yeah. Clooney, I mean.
Well, I have a house on the other side of Lake Como. Okay? It's not the Clooney side. I'm on the other side.
That's the difference.
So maybe that'll help. Here's what I realized about me and the Bears, and I wonder, I assume I'm not alone in this. I feel like, Danny, I've missed a great season so far. Like, I've missed a really good season. And I don't want to miss the rest of it, but I feel like I've missed it because I've been so hung up on what I wanted them to be and what I expected them to be. An offense that moved the ball, made some big plays, got leads, setting up a defense that plays like there's blood in the water with a lead. And I feel like I'm missing a great season because this is not what they are. Obviously, that kind of offense. They're 28th in yards per game. They're 28th in rushing yards per game. They're 27th in scoring. All the numbers are there. This is a horrifically bad offense. And we've spent so much time expecting, then dissecting, and then projecting once Foles got in, and then waiting and being disappointed, and then perhaps rationalizing all of that, that I haven't really allowed myself to freaking enjoy what they are. Because what they are is pretty special and pretty damn rare in the modern NFL. They're a 5-1 team, and they're a group that believes in themselves and their ability to win. They don't quit. And credit Matt Nagy with that. They find ways to win. They've got comebacks. They've got big defensive stands. Foles has made some big crucial throws at big crucial moments. They are a team with a veteran quarterback that knows the offense. He can find little wrinkles and dissect stuff and tell people to do things to make plays happen. That's cool. He should know enough not to kill you. That interception this past week was horrific, and that can't be what he does. But he's a game manager with upside right now. And what that goes along with is a truly great defense that I have not fully allowed myself to be the identity of this team, to enjoy, to embrace. I mean, I think this is the best Bears defense since the Lovey years and more satisfying. I think so far it's a better defense than 2018. They haven't had the takeaways and the flash plays. They haven't had the pick sixes, although Eddie had two of them taken away. But overall, I mean, they're second and third down percentage. They're number one in the red zone, showing up when they have to. And the fact that they're doing it without like a high ratio of sacks and takeaways, what they're ninth in sacks, 13th in takeaways. They were second in takeaways in 2018. They're 13th in the league. It means they're doing it with consistent tackling, with coverage, with smart positioning, with complementary team play. Like, this is a truly great defense right now. And I know there's a lot more to go, but that's basically the gist of it. Is I feel like I've been missing a great season because I've been way too hung up on waiting for them to be something or trying to figure out why they're not something. And if I had known this is what they were going to be or this is what they could be, then my vibes would have been a lot better on game days. I would have enjoyed myself a hell of a lot more on game days. And I don't think I haven't enjoyed it as much as I wish I had. They're 5-1, man. 83% of 5-1 teams. Yes, 83. 83% of 5-1 teams make the playoffs. I mean, they're almost assuredly a playoff-bound team at this point. But since 1990, 83% of 5-1
teams.
Well,
and there's 7 teams that make the playoffs now. So,
yeah, right, exactly.
So it's even higher than that. They're making the playoffs.
I think so. So damn it, this I should have enjoyed this a lot more to this point. And it could get scary with the schedule upcoming, but that's my vibe on it right now.
That was very you. I loved that about it. Like that's very like perception versus reality, and sports is enjoyment. Like I agree with almost everything that you said. In terms of, hey man, wins are hard in the NFL. There's only 16 of them every year. Mm-hmm. They've won 5 of 6. They're going to the playoffs. Expectations were low coming into this year. So celebrate a team that's exceeding expectations. If last year felt like a 16-game root canal because there were Super Bowl expectations and they finished 8-8, if this year's expectations were 7-9 and they're going to finish 10-6 or 11-5, you should enjoy the exceeding of expectations. I feel like that's basically your premise, and I love it. The problem, see it.
Here's my rational thought provider. And you showed up at 11 minutes into the hour, and I appreciate I appreciate the time to bask in the
vibe. All have our roles here, babe. the only issue that I see is, like, Nagy's the offensive coach.
Mm-hmm.
It's an offensive league.
Right.
And what is the actual ceiling of this brand of football? Because the standards, when you have a championship defense, should be a championship. But the offense is so bad and the eye test is so bad that 10 and 11 wins or a playoff win or two, if it doesn't result in an NFC championship or a Super Bowl, it's going to feel just like they're wasting another great Bears defense, which I've seen 7 or 8 great Bears defenses in my 30 years of watching Bears football, right?
Yes.
I've never really...
That's true.
I've seen good stretches of offense, but in terms of like an actual sustainable modern NFL offense, it's like it basically has never happened. And so I think with Bears fans, it's like, I've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
It's fine.
It's not a bad movie, though, Danny. I hear you,
man. It's
not
a bad movie.
But this is why people pine for, and you pine for, and I get it. And we thought we were going to, like, finally step into the league. But instead, we're another version of 2006 and Grossman, or we're another version of 2018 and Mitch, or we're, or pick any one of those 7 teams that you're talking about, one of the Cutler teams, when you thought Cutler and Martz were going to step forward and make magic,
Kreutz comped it yesterday to the 2010 team. He was like, we were bad early offensively. The defense carried us. By the end of it, the offense was pretty damn good because we knew how to play together. We were healthy. But he's like, that team just had more explosiveness, but that he sees potential with on this team. So Olin comped it to 2010, but that team went to the NFC Championship game, right?
Yes.
Carried largely by their defense, had a couple of great offensive performances. The Seattle playoff game comes to mind. But, like, it's – everything you're saying is true. It's just a question of standards, right? Like, if you hold them to a Super Bowl standard – the eye test tells you this isn't a Super Bowl team. If you hold them to they're pretty good, and there aren't a lot of really good teams in the NFL, and especially in the NFC, well, then, yeah, anything can happen. So I feel like it's just a product of your standards, and for me personally, like, it's just you and me talking here. Like, I think because of what I saw the offense potentially to be, because of who they hired, because of my belief in Mitch as being such a huge part of the problem, like, man, I want them to just show me that they can dominate a bad defense and score 30 and do it with ease like so many teams around the NFL do. And they're just so far away from that, it's hard for me to focus on the defense when I've seen that movie before.
I totally understand. It's just that it's a pretty damn good movie. And in this league, it's more and more rare to have a defense that you can be excited. All right, go ahead, take the ball. Go ahead. Yeah, no, that's fine. You know, that's why we all wanted Matt Nagy to run and burn that last time out, is because, go ahead, yeah, burn your last time out. We'll pin you down deep with Piero Daniel, and then the defense can come out there and do its thing. That's okay. That's an okay identity to be. It's not the identity we thought we'd be. But here it is. There's only 6 teams giving up less than 20 points a game in this league. The Bears are one of them, giving up 19.6, I think it is. They're 8 points better in terms of scoring defense than every other team in the division. They're just, they're so much better defensively in terms of that. And we have not seen the takeaways. We have not seen the defensive scores on top of all of that. So, I mean, it's rare. And as you've said before, man, to be that team that's winning games while the offense is still figuring things out could be a lot worse fates in this league. To be 5-1 and the offense is still figuring things out. And maybe that 30-point game doesn't come until week 11 or week 12, but they win 8 games by then. And it's fine.
And that's true, right? Like we do have to allow for the possibility of improvement, like in-season improvement. Foles has never worked with these guys. They didn't have an offseason. They didn't have a preseason. The greatest luxury you can have in the NFL is to win while still having a bunch of things to clean up so you don't get fat and happy and read your press clipping. So they're in a great spot. I don't want this to be another Bears team where the offense just lets down the defense and it feels like a wasted opportunity. And so I think that's why the Bears Mondays have skewed negative even after wins.
Yeah, man.
Because they've been ugly wins.
I know they have. And my little summation tweets at the end of a game always consist of at least partial negatives about the coach or about the offense. And it's just how you feel. And you end up kind of waking up in the process. I feel like during the week, the quarterback and the head coach are trying to talk themselves back into positivity. Right? And like saying 100%. This, right? They are. And so here I am realizing that it's a pretty good idea, frankly, to be able to look at the moment and say, all right, 5-1, and there's a lot of work to do. Textures are getting in, Danny, at 312-644-6767. It's not like this is as rare as the 2000 Ravens, people pointing out the Peyton Manning Broncos team that was all defense and pass rush, and Manning was a shell of himself. And you know, that there are some teams that can get to the Super Bowl like that and could even win a Super Bowl like that.
Well, you know, and so this is where I sound ridiculous and where Bears fans, I've said it a few times before and they always get on me for it or whatever. I don't want just one Super Bowl. And the defense, you can, like, the idea of like defense wins championships, right? That saying, it's virtually impossible to be a dynasty, a bite at the apple every year because of defense in 2020. It's just so hard. Like, your margin for error is thinner, right? As opposed to if you have Rodgers, Mahomes, Russell Wilson.
For sure.
Ben Roethlisberger.
You got to get one. You got to get one, but we don't have one.
No, but you don't have one. Right, exactly. And so, but so in lieu of that, it's hard for me personally. I'm not saying it's hard for the majority of Bears fans, but for me personally, it's hard to accept. It feels like I'm condoning mediocrity or below average offense when I watch the rest of the league, and it's literally easier to pass and easier to score than any time in the history of the sport. But it looks like the 90s for the Bears offensively. Like, that's,
I understand,
so frustrating.
But I think this is a moment where the truth is actually in the margins, and we're so used to going hard and going strong and leaning into what we believe. But the truth is that there's more than one way to win. There's more than one way to make the playoffs, and there is more than one way to make it to the NBA Finals, like the Miami Heat. There's more than one way to make it to the Super Bowl, like those Manning Broncos did. And in this NFC, who's great, man? You know?
Great? I spent a lot of time on that yesterday. I think there are two teams in the NFC South that by the end of the year could be great. We haven't really seen the Saints because Michael Thomas has been hurt all year, and he's the best receiver in football, so that matters, especially if people think Breeze's arm is shot. Like, got to see him with a number one receiver. And then Tampa, Brady, new system, new location. They've, you know, Evans has been hurt, Godwin's been hurt, Miller's been hurt.
Entirely possible.
Yep. Like, so like they, I think, still have a chance to be great, but we'll see. Everyone else, Green Bay you can run on. Seattle's defense is terrible. We know the Bears. We know nobody in the NFC East. Like, we know the Rams with Goff have a low ceiling. Like, we, everyone else has flaws, and those two teams I think are question marks. So it is wide open. It's just a and I'll tell you this too, and I haven't talked about this in a while, but I think why this one hurts more, this bad offense, is because of what it could have been. And I have no interest in relitigating 2017 with you. We lived through that together at the start of the show.
Yeah.
But, like, imagine this defense, and they have Deshaun Watson.
You know, of course. And that hangs over the entire exercise and has hung over these last 3 years or 4 years now and will hang over for however long. And that's part of why I feel like I'm missing a great season. Because
me too.
Because no, all right, we didn't get him. Okay, well, at least they punted on Mitch early enough in this year that a guy like Foles can be a game manager and still be smart enough to make certain plays happen, which we've dissected from week to week. And he certainly has the ability to put up that 30 spot in the playoffs, even against a defense that allows the possibility. So I want to enjoy the year, and I feel like Nagy is kind of, with some resignation, starting to admit what their identity is, and that's probably healthy right now.
Yeah, it's totally reasonable. It's well balanced. It's Spiegelian. What would we call that?
I think Spiegelian. Yeah,
Spiegelian. You know,
Spiegelian. Okay. It felt Spiegelian as I was mapping it out and thinking about it today. I was like, oh yeah, that's me. Sure, that sounds a lot like me.
Yeah. I'm missing the positive, babe. Like the. Everyone pushes you to the negative, but I got to find the positive.
No, I'm pushing myself to the negative. I'm watching the damn games. I'm watching the offense fail. I'm watching, you know, Alex Bars and Rashad Coward not look like guards, and Kyle Long tweeting, looks like they need a guard, and me wondering whether he's still got it or not. You know, it's like all of that. And seeing mediocre quarterbacks putting up huge numbers and I'm not enjoying it. And then I'm like, wait a minute. They're 5-1. I got to talk myself back into where I ought to be.
Texter says, you sound ridiculous because it is ridiculous. Giants, Steelers, Patriots won multiple championships primarily with good defense and just enough offense. Sir or ma'am, all three of those teams have quarterbacks that are going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, but early on, Brady was absolutely game managing a Belichickian defense before he exploded on out.
Yeah, and Roethlisberger, his first one, he was a game manager for it, and I don't think Eli is that good. He was a compiler. He started 200 something games, you know. So there's a morsel of truth in what he's saying, but like there's the level of quarterback play and offensive football from those teams to this one is different. No Patriots team was ever 27th in the NFL in offense that won a Super Bowl. All I'm asking for is league average, man. Just score 26, 27 points a game. Be 16th in passing. Be 19th in rushing. That's reasonable. Like that is a low bar.
Sure.
To clear, and they are nowhere near clear.
Nowhere near it, baby. But yeah. just think about how good this defense is, and they don't have the takeaways to go with it. They don't have the scoring flash plays on defense, and they're still this good. So there's more there, even just for a defensive identity game manager quarterback team.
I will say,
go Bears!
That's right.
Their defense is fun. Their defense is real fun.
It's really fun. That's the
they
thing.
Are.
And I want to, instead of fretting over the first couple plays, like, I can't believe they punted again, that 3-and-out, and taking my notes, I just want to be, all right, here we go. Let's see who compliments who this time. Let's see how good Gibson looks in that secondary because everybody else is so good. Let's see how Jalen Johnson has time to develop while Kyle Fuller is playing the best ball of his life. Yes, and I do mean the best ball of his life. 2018 was first-team All-Pro Kyle Fuller, but this version's even better.
Yeah, he is. He's been incredible. All right, so that is Matt Spiegel's take on the 2020 Bears. Appreciate what you got, babe. Coming up next, you know I sometimes struggle with out-of-town baseball, so I want you to sell me on the World Series, and then if we have time, and I think we will, I want you to respond to just an outlandish analysis of Theo Epstein and the Cubs regime under him. That's coming up with Matt Spiegel on The Score.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Eagle in on the Danny Parkin Show here on The Score. Dodgers and Rays World Series gets underway tonight. I always say sports played for the highest stakes, I'm in. Like, I will be watching, but I admit national out-of-town baseball sometimes is a struggle for me, even in the World Series, and sometimes I'm more of a passive observer than an active observer, and sometimes if the series doesn't hook me, I don't get come around to it until elimination, four, five, six, seven games.
Second screen. One assumes it'll be second screen without volume, even though friend of the show Joe Buck is doing seven games in 7 days in four different cities right now.
Very cool, by the way. Very cool run for your guy, Joe Buck. Still hasn't mentioned the Mitch album on TV. Little surprised.
Yeah. Disappointing. Track, disappointing, but, yeah. I'm sure. He'll hear about it from his bosses who know what's important.
It's an omission. But say I'm not going to watch. sell me on main screen. Sell me on this World Series.
It's not that hard, though, is it? Like these are the two best teams, and they've been the two best teams all year long. That's the thing that's principally the coolest, because it's rare. There is no hot team that might come back down to earth. There's no timely pretender. This postseason, and we talked about it before it began, it replicated the regular season better than any postseason in memory, because of no off days, because you had to use your entire roster, because you're whole pitching depth was going to be tested. So these are the guys that came out of it. These are the teams that came out of it. Totally fitting. So I love, first of all, that we have the two best, and that's certainly not always the case.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're right. That's an easy one. I'm not debating you. I'm not arguing with you. They are the two best. The only thing I'd say is it doesn't quite feel the same because it's not the two clear best over 162. Right, the randomness of all of it, the expanded postseason. Like, they were the two best over 60, but like, for example, like the Cubs, I don't think they win the division if it's a 162 game season. Right,
it's hard to imagine that they do. Yeah,
right. And so that's not me being a hater to baseball. It's just the acknowledgement that the sample that these teams rose to the top of in the regular season is just not the same of what baseball normally produces.
Understood. Look, you've got the Dodgers, and they're absurdly deep, talented, well-coached, and well-run, and we know all of that. And their experience, the Dodgers roster has 123 games of World Series experience on it, right?
Yeah.
The Rays
that's a lot.
Have two, and they're both Charlie Morton. He's it. Nobody else is there. And yet the feeling is, for some, how are those Dodgers going to blow it this year? how are they going to do it? So you can watch with that specific level of suspense, like what tremendous plus for the Dodgers is going to blow up in their own face.
That's my favorite storyline. That slash the Kershaw part of it, because it's a weird thing, man. This shouldn't feel like David and Goliath because, right, it's 2-1 seeds, but monetarily it is. Pressure-wise it is because of past failures for the Dodgers. And then whenever Kershaw's on the mound, that is must-see TV. Like, that is incredible drama and pressure because, I mean, his whole thing, his whole legacy, I mean, he's a first-ballot Hall of Famer either way, but he has spoken truth to, like, yeah, this is a thing. This is until I slay this dragon,
yeah,
it's a thing for me and my legacy. And so now we get to see, does the best pitcher of his generation, arguably, like Verlander would have a say in that, but like, is the best pitcher of his generation going to be able to slay that dragon? To me, that's the best angle on
that.
It.
That is a terrific angle. Obviously, the Andrew Friedman thing, it's like, I mean, he's the boss in LA. All three of the other Final Four teams in baseball were led by guys who he once hired. You know,
oh, so it's the Andy Reid tree of baseball.
100%. Right now.
Love it.
And, you know, it became clear a couple years ago that Andrew Friedman is better than Theo Epstein. That became very, very clear. And it's a very rarefied air that Theo inhabits, but he ain't Andrew Friedman. And we could talk about that for a long time and sometime. I think I have, but we will.
I'm sure you have. You got a lot of baseball shows, babe.
But the other thing is that, do people realize what a badass Kevin Cash is? Kevin Cash, who, by the way, is the manager of the Rays, is now the first guy ever to play in the Little League World Series and then manage in the Major League Baseball World Series, which is kind of cool.
That's a very baseball stat. But
very
yeah, that
baseball-y
is cool.
Stat. He's just a badass. He takes zero crap from anybody. When Aroldis Chapman threw the ball over Mike Brusso's head and got thrown out, and Aaron Boone made a big stink, after that game, Kevin Cash went hard. And that's why, in part, why it was so beautiful to see Mike Brasseau, the same guy, homer off Chapman to basically knock the Yankees out. But here was Kevin Cash after that night when Chapman and Aaron Boone clearly were going after the Rays.
Well, it's ridiculous. You know, enough's enough. We've gone battles, and look, you're going to get some of this at the time when you're playing a short season with so many games. But it's absolutely ridiculous. It was mishandled by the Yankees, certainly the pitcher on the mound. It was mishandled by the umpires. They hit Joey Wendell intentionally in the first inning. It was clear as day. Chapman comes in. He throws three different balls up and in. I get it. They don't like being thrown up and in, but enough's enough. We're talking about a 100-mile-an-hour fastball over a young man's head. It makes no sense. It's poor judgment. Poor coaching. It's just poor teaching what they're doing and what they're allowing to do. The chirping from the dugout. I mean, somebody would have to tell me, go pull the numbers, who's hit who more. But I can assure you, other than the 3 years ago, there hasn't been one pitch thrown with intent from any of our guys, period. Somebody's got to be accountable. And the last thing I'll say on it is I got a whole damn stable full of guys that throw 98 miles an hour, period.
A whole damn stable full of guys who throw 98. And I don't know if people have seen, but Diego Castillo, among those in that bullpen, who showed up at a postgame press conference wearing a blue Rays-colored T-shirt with a horse on it, with the number 98 on the side of the horse. So that whole bullpen has shirts with a horse on it. It says 98 because their manager's like, I got a whole stable of guys that throw 98. And he does. He's a badass, and that team is a badass in part because of him. I love that dude.
I like it. All right. I'm in. I was already in, but Mr. Baseball Matt Spiegel sold us on the World Series that's taking place tonight.
Yeah, I mean, there's more. There's the dance party celebrations of the Rays. You know, there's that whole Rays bullpen and all the crazy weird guys. There's and you'll see guys who you wish were Cubs and wish were White Sox who'd be like, who the hell is Joey Wendell and why don't we have one of those? Who the hell is Willie Adames? Where's he been and why don't we have one of those? You know, like you're gonna meet some people that you're like, oh, and I wish we had them, but it should be fun. It should be a fun one.
Quit while you're ahead. Don't start naming people that I've never heard of and then to sell me on baseball. That's quit while you're ahead. All right. Theo Epstein was called a failure by you respect this man, Matthew Trueblood? You respect him?
I do. Okay. Which is why that was so awkward to see him ratioed in such horrifying detail yesterday.
Okay. So this is a baseball man from Baseball Prospectus who Matt Spiegel respects who called Theo Epstein a failure. I addressed it earlier in the show. Spiegs gets his chance at rebuttal next on the score.
Station. We made significant changes to our hitting infrastructure as well over the last year or two. I think we're progressive and state of the art as any organization when it comes to what we teach, how we teach it, the tools that we use to teach it. And we've had great success developing hitters throughout the minor leagues, and I expect that to continue. I think the area where we have not had this success that we want to have the last few years is helping hitters reach their full potential at the major league level and then maintaining that type of consistency.
For the hour here on the Danny Parkin Show, and Matthew Trueblood from Baseball Prospectus. You've heard him on this station, you've heard him on the baseball shows, you've heard him on with Bernsey. Speaks said he respects him. He shared this take on the old Twitter machine. The Theo Epstein Cubs regime, which is either over or functionally over, has been a failure. I know they won a title, but this front office was supposed to turn the Cubs into perennial winners, the Heartlands, Yankees, or Dodgers. They're no closer to that goal than they were in 2011. Speaks, I addressed this around 2:30 today.
Okay, good.
Your
okay.
response or rebuttal?
Oh, well, you know, there's a potential point there and a conversation that could be had, but that's not how to get there. That's just not how to get there because it's flat out ridiculous. And there's a million facts and figures, and you look at the stretch of 90-win seasons and 5 out of 6 times the playoffs and all that. It's easy to refute the word failure. Oh, and by the way, that one ring, and the Dodgers don't have a ring. The Yankees don't have a ring in the same time period. So it's you can't call it a failure. So it's horrifically wrong. I will say that Theo Epstein has not built something as good as Brian Cashman built. Theo Epstein has not built something as good as Andrew Friedman built in either of the two places with very different kinds of parameters. And we all know why. It's because of drafting. They haven't drafted well. It's just a horrifically barren draft landscape, especially for pitchers that the Cubs have had. So if you want to say that he is the third best all-powerful baseball boss of the big market behemoths, right now, okay. Is he the third best right now? Will he go down perhaps as not the single best of his era as we all thought that maybe he had a chance to? Yeah, it's possible, yeah. Depending on how many rings come around for Cashman, for Friedman. Bean looks like he's done without ever getting one, apparently, because he's going to buy into the company that owns the Red Sox, so he can't have that. But you know, so Theo will still be a legend and will still be an instant Hall of Famer whenever and should be looked on as one of the greatest of all time. But it's just not what Trueblood is trying to say is not what he ended up saying in that tweet.
Which is bad for a writer and communicator. Generally speaking, if you're trying to communicate a thought and your thought is not the thought that you're trying to communicate, you either are a bad communicator or it's a bad thought. One of the two. And he failed, but it was just a tweet and he got a bunch of attention, but he's not normally any sort of like shock jock hot takey guy. So,
no,
you know,
but I think he's been trying. He grew up a Cub fan. I think he's one of those guys who's been trying to prove that he understands best why the Cubs have failed. And it's and I don't see there I am using the word fail, but why the Cubs have underachieved the lofty expectations of the last 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's fine. Good for you.
Yeah. Good.
It's a nice lane. People can hear my whole take on it at 2:30, and yeah, it is what it is. But what's up, man? I haven't talked to you in a while. How have you been? How's life? What are you watching? How are you spending your time? What's going on with you?
Just finished The Haunting of Bly Manor on the Netflix. Did you watch that? Did you watch Haunting of Hill House, which was outstanding?
She likes the horror stuff.
That was good. Bly Manor, not quite as good, but had some moments. And basically, I haven't been able to stop thinking about American Murder, which the Netflix documentary about the dude who, spoiler alert, killed his wife and kids. Yeah.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
I never watched that true crime stuff with her, but I watched that one.
Dude. Yeah.
That guy. That's some pathological stuff right there.
Yeah, man. And then here's the problem. And I don't know if you've ever had this problem. Among them.
Oh, there's only one problem?
only one that I can see, and it's very personal. We went and saw some friends of Christine's socially distant, safely, the other night. And the dude of the couple that we went to see reminds me a lot of that guy.
Oh, my God.
I thought about it during the movie. Just visually, a lot of tats, kind of newly buff. Same sort of facial hair and occasionally vacant expression. So I spent like the first hour just unable to look him in the eyes.
That's a tough one to bring up during the dinner convo. For anyone who doesn't know the story, I mean, it's the story of a husband with kids who decided that he liked his, you know, pretty new thing girlfriend. Uh-huh. And instead of divorcing, getting out like a man or whatever, he just killed everybody and did it in like grotesque fashion.
Horrific, sociologically evil, sociopathically sociologically as well, probably. But yeah,
probably,
just thoroughly evil, and the ability to live with oneself after that.
I would have loved for you to bring up at that dinner conversation, have you seen American Murder? Yeah, why? It's the hot new thing on Netflix. That was a hell of a show. I gotta say, you bear a striking resemblance both physically and behaviorally to the protagonist.
Is he the protagonist? Really? Is he like...
He's the main character.
Yeah.
Is he not?
I don't know. Protagonist. Doesn't protagonist mean like hero or like the person you're rooting for during the show? I think means the person, the pro, as opposed to, I'm pretty sure he's the antagonist. I'm going to go ahead and say the dead wife, who we're seeing a lot of, is the protagonist.
I think it's just the main figure or one of the most prominent figures in a real situation, the leading character or one of the major characters in a drama, movie, novel, or other fictional text. Like he's the main character because he was, you know, the murderer in American Murder. I love that.
That much is true. I mean, this is the thing. The world we live in, there's probably people out there watching that rooting for him. Like, come on, dude.
I shut it down.
Get away with it. Get away with it. Come on. No, one more lie. Spin it. Hold strong. Don't fold at the polygraph, man. Keep rolling. You got this.
That is spectacular.
Who watches that and roots for the protagonist?
Nobody. Yeah. But I mean, that dinner party. I
want to
live in that fantasy land of you actually sharing that anecdote. Like you had like a second scotch, you know, feeling a little loose lipped, freewheeling Spiegel. We know you can get there.
Yeah,
like,
I've been meaning to say something. Yeah,
American Murder. You.
That's you, man.
That'd be incredible.
Would it have been me who said it or my wife? We'll never know.
We'll never know. Are you watching The Comedy Store on Showtime?
I haven't. I should.
Yeah, I've only watched the first episode, but 100% you'll love it.
History of the Comedy Store?
History of the Comedy Store.
Come on, I got you. Yeah.
They get everybody to participate. It's all about like founding of the store, all the people who came through there, how like the Comedy Store was kind of like triple A baseball to the Tonight Show, when Carson brought the Tonight Show out to LA. I mean, so far, Howie Mandel, Jim Carrey, Whoopi Goldberg.
Everybody worked there, man. Everybody.
Everybody. And everybody's in the document. Marin, they get everybody. I can't wait to keep watching. Maybe I'll do it on the main screen while the World Series is on the top screen.
I knew I didn't get you enough. Get you to have audio.
Oh, God.
Next time. I'll see you Monday and Tuesday, right?
Yes. Next Monday and Tuesday, it's Yumi and Layla.
Looking forward to that.
Which should be an absolute blast. Have a good weekend. We're going to enjoy this Bears game. You told us to.
That's right.
We're going to enjoy
it. That's right. Don't miss the season while you're busy waiting for the offense you want. Don't miss the great season that might be happening.
That is very Spiegelian, and I love it. Ryan Howard was on the show today. We went around the NFL. Hub Arkish was on the show today, and Matt Spiegel hung out for the last hour. Mark Carmen in with me the rest of the week. Thank you to Shane Reardon for helping out throughout all of Scorantine. Tanny out today, still made the open. Great job by Rick Camp filling in for the incomparable Chris Tannehill. Joe Ostrowski, the host of Bet Sweats, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central on the radio.com app daily, is coming up next. So for Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. This is The Score.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.